Our scripture this morning is Matthew chapter 5. As we conclude in the Sermon on the Mount, what is called the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. This morning we're going to read verses 10 through 12 as we continue the subject of persecution. You say, wait a minute, you persecuted us last week. Don't start it again today. That was enough. But this is a real interesting subject, especially when we go from verse 10 to verses 11 and 12 and the different focus that Jesus has given in this particular passage. So before we study, let's pray. Father in heaven, we humble ourselves in your presence and come with confidence to your throne of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ and being led by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence here, and I pray that our worship has honored your holy and majestic name, our hearts before you being forgiven of our sins as we have confessed and repented and asked for your forgiveness. Now, Father, we come to continue worshiping you through the reading and teaching of your word. Please help us to remain focused upon you. Keep the evil one from us. And instruct us from your word by your Holy Spirit. You know the need of everyone in here. And I pray that you meet that need according to your riches in Christ Jesus. For your children, those who trust in Christ alone for salvation, we will be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged in our relationship with you. For those here today and do not know Jesus as Savior, how I pray that you will reveal your love and grace and mercy and forgiveness to them through Jesus Christ and Him alone. May we continue to honor you in our hearts. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at Matthew chapter 5, I want you to look at verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. So we're looking at two categories of people. Jesus was teaching, and he goes up on the mount and he sits down. And the crowd that was around him, it's the disciples that drew near to him. Disciples were those, as we are today, who trust in Jesus alone for salvation, who have a heart that is made alive in Christ and has a heart to be taught and a desire to learn. And so the disciples come. Now, this was obviously the 12 and possibly a few more. It's hard to determine exactly how many. And so they drew near. And then beginning in verse 3 and going through verse 10, Jesus addresses disciples in the broad sense of the term, meaning that those who trust in him, these characteristics should be seen in your life on a daily basis. Then he transitions from verse 10 to verses 11 and 12. And in the original language there, he changes the form of the noun. He goes from a third person plural to a second person plural. And you think, I didn't come here for an English lesson today. Just teach me, okay? That is a very significant thing. Because Jesus drew in from a general address to all disciples to a certain group. And he looked at them and he talked about persecution in an expanded way of people saying false things about them and slandering them on my account. And so Jesus is saying, basically, some commentators say it was the 12 he started addressing here, because he's going to send them into the world. They're going to be on the front lines proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're the ones that's going to take the heat. Christians are at all different area levels of maturity. Some are very quiet about their faith and do not say a whole lot. There are those who are a little more vocal, and then there are those who are really, really vocal. There are some of us who are so quiet, we just live a quiet, godly life before people. But as you and I live our lives, and as we are moved by the Holy Spirit and are convinced, like David was saying, are we going to do what is right, or are we going to walk away? Are we going to stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ in a loving, caring way, but confront the ungodliness and the evil that is in this world, that is in our communities? Or are we going to just play it safe and not say anything and go on? Because if you and I take the position that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and I'm committed to Him and His Word, and when people are going against that Word, I will speak, no, that's not right, then you're going to be persecuted. So Jesus begins to address not the general church, let's say, but those of us who are going to be committed and are going to ruffle some feathers by being open and honest about life and the truth in God's Word. And people are going to say all kinds of ungodly things about you, and they'll spread rumors and lies about you. Are you and I willing to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might to take that stand to begin with, and then persevere through those difficult and trying times? That's the question. And I hope every one of you here today who love Jesus as your Savior will take that stance and say, this is who I am. This is truth. And God will give you the grace and ability to take the heat. But there is a phrase in here in verse 12 that is just, it just jumped at me this week as I was praying and studying this passage. Look at verse 12 and see what Jesus says here. He says, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. Now look at the next phrase. For great is your reward in heaven. And it was like a diamond in the rough that the Holy Spirit showed this phrase to me. Great is your reward in heaven. We'll take the heat down here. We'll be made fun of. We will lose friends. But we have to look beyond this life to where we're going and what's going to be there for us when we get there. And Jesus tells us here that when we get to heaven and we've lived a life to the best of our ability as we're led by the Holy Spirit, and we've rubbed people the wrong way, not intentionally, but by being a strong believer and taking our stands, Jesus says to those of us who are going to do this, for great is your reward in heaven. Now let's look at this phrase. And try to get a grasp of what that reward might be. It's always interesting to me that when Jesus talks about rewards, he never says what it's going to be. When you read the word reward in heaven and you think about yourself, what do you think about? I don't want to know. Wealth. Big nice place to live. We're all going to have a mansion, so don't forget that, you know. But what is that reward? Let's look at this because I think it's very important. So let's go to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew 25, now we've gone from Jesus just beginning his time of teaching. Now we're right at the end of it. In Matthew 25, in verses 31 through 34, he's talking to his disciples, his apostles, about the end of time. And look at Matthew 25, 31 through 34. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Now let's stop there. When the second coming takes place and time ends, it says all the nations are going to be gathered to Christ. The word, the Greek word there is ethnos. It means every people group. Not just nations in general, but every different ethnic group in this world is going to be gathered before him. And when he gathers them before him, he's going to put them in two different categories. On his right will be sheep, those who trust in Christ alone for their salvation. On the left, goats, those who didn't. And there's no in between. You're either a sheep or a goat. I don't mean to say that to y'all, okay? Now, let's go to verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Think about this. As believers in Christ, as his children, you were chosen to inherit the kingdom of God from the foundation of the world. People can call me anything they want to call me. They can do anything. I will remain faithful. You will remain faithful to the Lord. Why? Because there is a greater city, a great kingdom that you and I will be in for eternity. And that was prepared especially for each one of God's children before the foundation of the world. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. What about the goats? Look at verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's a reality too. Just as those who have Jesus and trust in Jesus alone for their salvation, those of us who trust alone for Jesus and our salvation, we have an inheritance of the kingdom of God. And the goats are told by Christ, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The word angel in the Greek means messenger. So Satan has his angels, his messengers, just like God has his angels. But that's what's going to happen to the non-believer. Again, in Matthew 25, look at verse 46. Jesus continues to teach on these goats. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There is eternal punishment for those who do not have Christ as their Savior. Those are the goats. Those are the ones who persecute and say all these lying, deceitful things about us and our commitment to Christ. And you know, that's really not a rejoicing thing. That is a sad thing. That there are people that will burn in hell forever because they absolutely refuse to trust in Christ alone for salvation. The great reward we have is eternal life in Christ and inheriting the kingdom of God. So we persevere in this life, whatever persecution we might endure. Well, tell me more about the possibility of me having an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Turn to John chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3:16. And I know all of us said, hey, I learned this when I was in Sunday school. Yeah, we all did. But it's always a precious truth to go back and just dwell on. These verses sometimes are so familiar, we just need to stop and meditate. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God's love for us was so strong, so committed, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, whoever believes that Jesus is indeed God's Son, and trust in Him, have confidence in Him, that when I confess my sin and repent and ask for forgiveness, I am forgiven and I have eternal life. To have something means to possess it. You and I possess eternal life the moment we pray and receive Jesus as Savior, and we will possess that eternally. Great is your reward in heaven. That's part of it. Now, let's go to John chapter 14. In John 14, Jesus is in the upper room prior to His betrayal and arrest and trial and crucifixion. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Notice in 16, I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper. And how long will that helper dwell in you and in me? Forever. The Spirit of God living in God's people. Forever. Which means we have the Spirit of God living in us the moment we become believers in Christ. And when we get to heaven, the Spirit of God will remain with us for eternity. Great is your reward in heaven. We experience this now. We have the fullness of that experience in heaven. And then look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. The world does not understand it because they're not believers in Christ. Because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. Now look at this last phrase here. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. You know Him. Every believer in Christ knows the Holy Spirit dwells within them. You and I know that. That's the part of the assurance of our salvation. It's guaranteed by God Himself. Again, great is your reward in heaven. And then John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, Jesus, still in the upper room, still teaching. And He's talking about His second coming here. And look what He says here in John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to Him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Is your heart troubled? Is it fearful? Jesus says to the disciples, prior to the most challenging thing that Christ accomplished on this earth, His crucifixion on our behalf, and He's told them what's going to happen, and their hearts were troubled, and He says, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You trust in God, believe also in me. And look at this passage where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Look at the personal commitment and the personal relationship that Jesus is using here when He's talking about I and you and myself. We're living in a time of impersonal relationships. How many of you got one of these? A blessing and a curse. A blessing and a curse. Personal relationships are weakening day in and day out. Because we don't talk face to face anymore. I mean, texting's nice, but I'd much rather talk to you. Email's nice, but I'd much rather talk to you. Get that personal interaction. I can look at your face. You can look at mine. Jesus is personal. Where I am, there you may be also. Whoa! Think about this. Great is your reward in heaven. Looking literally looking into the face of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Being in His presence. The resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Christ is so real. And His second coming is so real. And in that second coming, we're going to be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And there's where we'll ever be with Him personally. I can take a little heat down here. I will take the heat down here. You've taken heat. But notice that our reward in heaven is great. For we'll be in the presence of God for eternity and not deal with the curse of God in this life and on this earth because of rebellion of mankind. Jesus makes this promise. And in verse 6, that phrase, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that first phrase, I am, is emphatic. It says, I am the way, the truth, the life. There is no other way other than Christ. And you and I know that. And so great is our reward which is in heaven. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 50, Paul is giving instructions concerning the resurrection and the end of time and what's going to happen to the believers in Christ. And look what he says, 1 Corinthians 15:50. I'll tell you this, brothers. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You know, you got to be brave to age, don't you? This aging process is a killer. Right? Amen. That was very weak. What's wrong with you people? You know it's the truth. I mean, it's tough. It can't be for wimps. But guess what? It's not going to be forever. All the curses and the diseases that are on this earth because of the rebellion of mankind will not last forever and will not follow us into heaven. And so all these aches and pains, and well, I'll stop there. It's not going to be forever. And we're not going to die but one time physically, but you and I will never die spiritually in Christ. We were dead spiritually. We're alive in Christ. You and I will never die spiritually. If we live long enough to the second coming of Christ, we won't die physically. But nobody knows that. But we need to be prepared for that death that's going to come to us. And in Christ, you and I are prepared. And then when that time comes, we have experienced the ultimate victory in Christ, spiritually and physically. Oh, just think about that great reward that we have. And we'll be with the Lord, and just millions of brothers and sisters in Christ. Wow. Great is your reward in heaven. But the path to get there is Christ alone. And on that path, God says, walk with me. Be what I've called you to be. And yes, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be ridiculed and made fun of. They persecuted the prophets too. But always keep this in mind. Great is your reward in heaven. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 through 5 in 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You just need to meditate on that one this afternoon. I mean, look at the inheritance. It's imperishable, it's undefiled, it's unfading, and it's kept in heaven for you. That's the great reward that you and I have. It cannot be removed from us. It will not devalue. It's eternal and it's there. And who by God's power, referring to us, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You and I know that we have eternal life in Christ. We know we're freed from the bondage of sin and death. And we're so thankful to God for that. And the peace and the joy that we have in our hearts, it is a blessing of God that we experience it now. But wait till you get to heaven and all this sin is gone. And it's just pure love and joy and peace. And you and I are kept by the power of God. It cannot be removed from us. We cannot lose it. We're kept by the power of God to fully experience that at our death. Many of our family brothers and sisters in Christ in this church in this past year, it was the Lord. Our tears are our own hurt. But look what they've experienced. Look what they have. And look what you and I have to look forward to. And so we come back to earth. And we're going to be persecuted. We don't know to what degree, but it's not going to be a beach. But we know that our reward in heaven is great. And that reward will be ours for eternity. So brothers and sisters, don't lose heart. Be encouraged. Whatever you and I are facing this day, think about that reward which is kept for you and for me in heaven, and we'll have it for an eternity. And we can all say in 1 Corinthians, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone here today doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, your eternal destiny without Christ is to burn in hell for eternity. You can escape that by coming to know Christ as Savior. And when you do that, great is your reward in heaven. Please come to Christ. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love to us in Christ. Thank you for calling us to be your children and adopting us as your very own, for giving us an inheritance in heaven where you keep that inheritance and you keep us by our faith. And thank you for that great reward that is awaiting us when you call us to be with yourself. Thank you for equipping us, giving us understanding that in this world there will be persecution, lying and things said about us that are false. But we persevere because we're focused on you and that great reward in heaven. Oh, Father, I pray that your children have been encouraged this morning, and how I pray for those who do not know Christ. Would you work in their hearts by your Holy Spirit that they would come to know Jesus and trust in Him for their salvation? For this I ask in Jesus' name.